One of the first objectives after landing on the beachhead of Iwo Jima was the taking of Mount Suribachi.
Yeah.
Were you in on that?
No, I was not. The 5th Marine Division, they had to take that, Suribachi. Okay, they did that, no problem. Sure, they lost a lot of men. But the Japanese were honeycombed in this high ground. They could see all the Marines down here. And they could direct fire. So the 5th Division went up there and put the flag up. I think it was the 3rd day. And one of the boys said, look up there. We knew that the high ground was very important for us to have so that they wouldn't have a good view of where to throw the shells. So the 5th Division went up there and they put the flag up. And when they put that flag up, morale went up.
Could you see the flag?
I saw the flag. Oh, the flag was about this big.
Because you were that far
away. That's a mile away, why, several hundred yards. There's a story on that flag, you probably read that. The first flag was put up, but somebody said, we got to get a bigger flag for that. So they went down to one of the little destroyers and asked that captain to give us a big flag. We need to put it up. Get rid of that little flag. So in putting it up, a photographer saw him do it. And that's the flag.
Yes, the famous raising of the flag on Iwo Jima is the second raising.
There is a book out, if you wanted to look for it. It's called Flags of Our Fathers. That book is the story of those Marines that you see in that picture.
It was Joe Rosenthal who photographed the Marines.
Yeah.
Ira Hayes, Mike Strank, Rene Gagnon, Harlan Block, Franklin Sousley, and U.S. Navy Corpsman John Bradley.
That's right. He was a corpsman. He wasn't a Marine. Flags of Our Fathers was written by that Marine corpsman's boy. He wrote the book and looked up all these stories.
That picture, of course, won the Pulitzer Prize for photography in that same year.
And a lot of people griped about that, but those guys were heroes.
They were.
Now, 3 of them was killed before the battle was over. And the book, Flags of Our Fathers, tells about those guys. I was about 3,000 or 4,000 yards, and I was telling you the flag looked like it was smaller than a postage stamp. But I was there. All the ships were tooting their horns out here in the harbor. It was a great day. But the battle was just starting.
Now, this was the 4th day of the battle.
Yeah, the battle was just starting. It went on for 39 days. After the flag was put up, it was only about 35 days. Now, I wanted to tell you what happened to me personally. Very sad story. This man that was on Johnston Island as a Marine, no war or anything, he came back to the States. Pearl Harbor happened after he came home. They made him in charge of some Marines that were going into combat. This Marine and I got acquainted at Camp Pendleton. We hadn't been overseas yet. We got acquainted because he didn't want to go to Los Angeles because there was no place to sleep. All the restaurants were full. You know, all the men were on the West Coast getting ready to ship out. Mm-hmm. They had all the hotels full.
So you became buddies?
So we became buddies. He was just married. And he'd tell me intimate things and I'd say, don't tell me about that. I said, I'm not married. He was reliving his new married life, and he was going overseas.
Was he with you on Iwo Jima?
He was with me on Iwo Jima. We aboard ship. It's hot down in those holes. See, there wasn't any air conditioning, no showers. We all perspiring, and 200 men with smelly feet, and hadn't had a shower in 2 or 3 weeks. It's bad. So he and I slept together on the weather deck. Fresh air. Of course, it was cold up there. It's hard as a rock. That steel's cold. We had a blanket and our pack with an extra set of dungarees. Used that for a pillow. We became pretty good buddies. He came to me one day and he said, well, you're going into Iwo tomorrow morning. Says, I don't have to go. I said, how'd you come on that? And he said, well, I know where our stuff is. I'm a sergeant. They're going to let me stay here. When you guys call for a certain thing, I don't know where it is, and I can get it to you. So I don't have to come in until 7 days. I said, boy, that's good duty. But he said, I'll send you roses because you're going to get it.
He's going to send you roses because you're going to die?
Yeah. Marines are cruel. They swear at every other word. And so he said, I'll send you roses. And he chuckled. Well, he came in 7 days. And he looked me up. And there I was. I had a hole already dug. I was lucky I wasn't on the front at the time. He came in and he said, well, I'm here. You know, I said, the Japanese are slipping here at night. I said, they don't have any water. They want to steal your canteen. And I said, while they're doing it, they'll slit your throat. So we have to have 2 men in a hole. One to stay awake and keep guard, and the other one can sleep. Well, sleeping's not very good because there's too much noise. At any one time, in a 4-second period, there's a shell coming over from our group to the enemy. So it's noisy day and night. He said, yeah, I'll dig in with you and bunk with you. He said, who's going to take the first watch? And it's dark. He's a sergeant, got a better rank than I've got, and he's my friend. I said, well, I'm feeling pretty good. I'll take the first watch. If I can't stay awake but an hour or two, then I'll wake you up and you can watch. So in about an hour, why, he woke up and I said, why are you awake? I'm okay. He said, well, I was having a nightmare. I said, what was it about? And he said, well, I was dreaming that I was picking up pieces of bodies and putting them in a basket. And I said, well, you need this bottle of brandy I've got here. Of course, I didn't drink or smoke. Some corpsman gave it to me. It looked like a little bottle of soda pop. They used to serve them on airliners. If you were taking a trip, you could get a bottle of brandy. So I said, here, drink this brandy and going back to sleep. He did. So during the night, somebody tapped him on the shoulder. Sergeant Cork, he said, tomorrow morning I'm going to send you up to where they've had a big counterattack and they've killed all the officers. See, they got a private up there leading a company of Marines. And he said, a private don't know beans about leading a company of Marines. He said, you're a sergeant. You go up there and handle it. He went on back to sleep. So the next morning he woke up. He said, I don't want to go up there. I just got a bad feeling about it. I was trying to be a big shot. And I said, oh, that's what Marines do, isn't it? And I was trying to be brave. Scared, spitless. I said, go on up there and show him what a Marine can do. Well, he did, and I shook hands with him. And it started raining. So I got back in my hole, not knowing what was going to happen next. In about an hour, some guy I knew came over, and he said, you want to see your buddy? I said, what do you mean? He said, well, he's laying over underneath that piece of tin. So they shot him right between the eyes. And he said, we covered him up with that building tin over there. It's that corrugated metal like they put on roofs. There's a lot of that in that area, blown to pieces. So I said, I don't want to see him. I was about ready to cry. I said, I'm about ready to crack up myself. I guess he was buried there on AWOL.